Well, thank you to the music group and a warm welcome in every sense of the word this evening. A warm welcome to the Lord's house this Lord's Day evening, our anniversary church Sunday, 120 years. We are remembering and giving thanks to God this day since work and worship and witness commenced in this particular building back in 1896. Thank you to the music group. Thank you to all who will contribute this evening. Thank you to those who provided the light refreshments that we enjoyed before the service briefly together this evening. We've enjoyed the beauty of the day. We've enjoyed the creation. So let's now shift our focus. Let's turn our thoughts and our hearts to the Creator, our God, and to our Saviour, His Son. And let's worship them together in spirit and truth. And we're going to open by singing together hymn 1094. 1094. Men of faith, rise up and sing. And verse 2 reminds us that women too, women of truth, should be rising up to sing. And verse 3 reminds us that we all as a church should be rising up to sing and to proclaim our faith and our gospel and our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's stand, let's join our instruments, let's join our voices, and let's sing to God's praise this great hymn of faith. Men of faith, rise up and sing. And when the hymn's over, William will come to the front and lead us in an opening prayer. Thank you.
Let's pray. Jesus, stand amongst us in thy risen power. May this time of worship be a hallowed hour. Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence, Lord, on this Sunday night and our anniversary Sunday, we just thank you once again for all the blessings you've bestowed upon us as a fellowship. Lord, that we can look back over the years and just see your hand upon us and how you've led us and guided us. And Lord, we thank you that we can look to the future, knowing, Lord, that you're there and you're going to guide us and lead us on. And Lord, we thank of the service tonight. Just pray, Lord, that you'll bless all who would take part in song or in word. We just pray, Lord, that it'll be a special time. And Lord, that you'll speak into each and everyone's heart who's here. And Lord, that if there's any unsaved in the gathering tonight, Lord, that tonight would be the night before they would go home, that they would put their trust in you. So Lord, we just leave the rest of the service in your hands. And we just pray that all that is said and done will be done for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We are indeed grateful to a number of folks participating and contributing to our service this evening. Thank you very much indeed. And just now we're going to have the first of our scripture lessons, and that will be read to us by Clifford, please. Clifford, thank you.
Reading from John 6. Verse 1 to 15. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed the far shore to the Sea of Galilee. That is the Sea of Tiberias. A great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miracle signs that he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, and he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had it in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted, and he did the same with the fish. When they had had all enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are now left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw this miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. May God bless the reading of his word.
We're going to sing together again, standing to sing, and it's number 880, please. 880, a newer hymn, a lovely hymn, one that we have sung before, so I trust we'll enjoy singing it together again this evening. And it reminds us about the power of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. 880, "Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you." Our second scripture lesson will be read tonight by Martina, and then after that, Diane is going to sing a solo. Thank you, Martina, and then Diane.
We're reading Romans 12, verses 1 to 21. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you might, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body, with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, patient and faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, for be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will reap burning coals in his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Say again a very sincere thank you to all who have participated in our services throughout today and indeed this evening. To you all for your faithfulness and for your attendance and for your presence here today. And I trust that we will be blessed and feel blessed and encouraged in the Lord together, especially this particular Sunday as we remember again another year of the Lord's goodness and keeping and provision for us and the work and the witness that we do in his name in our church building here. On these occasions, it's good to look back. And we remember the faithfulness of past generations. We can all think of different people who have served the Lord faithfully in this place, in our family circles, in our friendship circles. And we thank the Lord. We are thankful to the Lord for his goodness and his providing over all those years of work and witness. 120 years now of work and witness in this particular building since it was first opened and dedicated to the glory of God on the last weekend in May of 1896. So we do rightly look back and we're thankful to those people. And we're thankful to our God. But of course, we're not stuck in the past. We are always living and working in the present and looking to the future. And so it's in the Lord's hands that his work and witness would continue to be maintained and provided for and promoted in this place. We look to the Lord and, of course, we include ourselves because we are the Lord's people. It's not the bricks and mortar that make the church. It's the people who are the church. And as the Lord's people, we have to be ready and willing to faithfully serve him and continue that good work. So I thank you, good folks, for your faithfulness and for your support. And I trust that that will always continue amongst us and will encourage one another in the Lord's work. And thank you especially today for your extra giving, because it is an additional gift day. So thank you in advance for that extra giving to support the Lord's work practically on this particular day. Now, the announcements are very simple for the incoming week. First of all, after this service tonight, there's the Pathfinders, as usual. Young people, you're encouraged to stay behind and enjoy your fellowship and friendship together there and your Bible study at the Pathfinders. Tuesday is the midweek prayer meeting for Bible study and prayer. We had a tremendous attendance and a tremendous time of prayer together on Tuesday past, and I encourage you to keep that up, that we would all do our best when we're able and free and available to come and to be together and share together around God's word and in prayer together. That's again on Tuesday at 8 o'clock. Then next Sunday, it's the first Sunday in June, and that's always our Children's Day, our Young People's Day. So there's no Sunday school. The boys and girls have been busy in Sunday school and on Wednesday evenings preparing and preparing pieces to play and pieces to sing and things to read. So next Sunday, both services are dedicated to them. We look forward to the special programme that's been prepared with them and to participating. And we thank Karen and Diane for all the preparation that has gone on around that particular event, as well as I thank all the teachers for their faithfulness over the past year at Sunday school. But we look forward to next week, the first Sunday in June, to our Young People's Day. We have two speakers. In the morning time is a young girl called Rachel Shepherd, who works with Scripture Union. She'll be along to speak to the young people in the morning. And then in the evening, it's George Barkley who's coming along to speak. So two guest speakers, along with all the special programme that the young people have prepared and will present next Sunday. So I encourage you, us all, to be along and bring all our family and friends with you too, if you can, so that we can share the day and enjoy the day together and encourage our young people by being here for them and with them and enjoying all that they will put on in their programme next Sunday. And next Sunday evening, we'll give out the prizes for Sunday school attendance in the past year. So much to look forward to in the incoming week, much to pray for, much to be involved in. And I trust you can come along and support those services through the week and next Sunday. Two additional announcements to make tonight. Two special events that I was told about and asked to mention tonight, so I'll pass them on to you. And if you're free and able to go, you will be warmly welcome. But first of all, on Friday of the week, Friday the 3rd of June, into the new month, Friday the 3rd of June, there is an Indian Information Night. Now, you might wonder what that's about, an Indian Information Night. Well, it's nothing to do with Indian food. And it's nothing to do with anybody that might want a visa to go and work in India or travel in India or anything like that there. But Sidney Johnson, who was along this morning, Sidney is part of a missionary outreach endeavour that works in India. And every now and again, he and his wife Hazel would go out with other friends with whom they work. And they would work in some of the poorer regions of India and work with the people in the villages there, giving some education and some craft and some help. Now, that group with which Sydney works, they're having a special event, a family night they call it, and it's on the theme of India and the work that they do in India. And he stresses it's a family night, it's for all ages, so you're free to go yourself and take family and friends with you. And it's being hosted over in Bally Baptist Church. So the Bally Baptist Church Hall's there in the out the Tomb Road, we know where they are. And if you want to go there to support that, that's on Friday night at 7:30. And then the next night, so you could go to one or other or both, whatever suits you and whatever you're available for, the following evening, Saturday the 4th of June, again at 7:30, but this time in the Wellington Presbyterian Church, it's being hosted there, there's a special evening of worship with the members of the New Irish Choir and Orchestra. Now they, we know, are tremendously talented singers and musicians, and they're putting on a special evening in the Wellington Church, and the funds for that are going to the Friends of Vispa. And we know that Trevor has a connection with that group. And again, I think plans to go out later on this summer to do some practical work there again out at that Vispa home out in Kenya. So again, you know about that. You've heard about that. We've supported that in the past. And if you're free to go, then you can go there on Saturday evening. Admission is free, but an offering will be taken up to support the work of Friends of Vispa. So an Indian in the evening in Bali Baptist on Friday, if you want, and then an evening with the Irish Choir and Orchestra in Wellington on Saturday evening, and both in aid of very worthy causes if you're free and able to go. We'll now worship the Lord with our evening offerings. Thank you. And again, thank you to the music group for playing along with our hymns and, of course, the other music that they provide in our worship over the weeks and over the different seasons of the year. Thank you to them today, and I'm sure they'll be participating next week too on our Young People's Day. And in just a moment or two after we've had another prayer, Laura and Rebecca will play for us a piece on the flutes. But let's just, first of all, have a short moment of prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank you for the offerings that we have now been able to return to you. And we acknowledge before you, Lord, that we can only give back what you have first given us. So help us to be grateful and help us to be thankful for all the ways, Lord, that you provide for us. We thank you for food and clothes and family and friends, all the provisions of life that we do indeed sometimes take for granted. We thank you, Lord, for that tonight. We thank you that we are able to give as you have prospered us, to give back to your work and to your witness here, Lord, and make us faithful and make us cheerful in our giving. Lord, we thank you for how you have provided for this congregation in this building over all those years. And we look to you for continued support, continued strength, continued grace, continued faith, continued work and witness in the gospel. Thank you for all the souls saved and won for you in this place over the years. And we still pray, Lord, we still pray even tonight for those who are without Christ, that as they know for sure in their minds the message of the gospel, they will take it to heart. And Lord, that you will work in their hearts by your Spirit and by your word to touch them and to convict them and to convert them to true and saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As you have prospered us materially, Lord, so you prosper us spiritually. Help us to look to you. Help us to set our sights on you. Help us to keep our faith in you, Lord, and strengthen us from day to day, not just in our work and witness in this place, but in our Christian life and in all the affairs of our regular lives from day to day, Lord. May we undertake them cheerfully and positively and in your grace and in your strength, thanking you for it, Lord, and being good and helpful and faithful witnesses to all around us. Thank you for all who have participated, all in our church family this day, Lord. Bless us all. We each have our own circumstances, our own trials, our own difficulties, our own worries at this moment. We can think of family. We can think of friends. And we just take even a quiet little moment now to mention them before you in prayer, Lord. We realize what a great God and what a good God and what a gracious God you are. And we can all be praying to you at once, Lord, and naming people to you and naming places to you and naming circumstances to you, Lord. You're able to take them all and you're able to deal with them all. Nothing is too great for you, Lord. Nothing is too little for you. So help us, Lord, even in the quietness of our hearts now to name before you our needs and to ask, Lord, that you would bless and that you would help and that you would strengthen and you would comfort in all the various circumstances. We thank you that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came into the world as one of us. So he knows all our pains and our woes and our worries. He's familiar with them. And he intercedes for us at your right hand. So help us to praise and to thank you for such a wonderful Saviour. And for the rest of our service together tonight, Lord, bless us. Bless us and do us good in heart and soul. And send us out into the week ahead, strengthened in our faith, Lord, to live and witness for your glory. For we ask our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Laura and Rebecca, thank you. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Great, great words, that. One of my favourites. Thank you, girls, for playing that tonight. Let's sing again before we come to God's word for a short time. 825. We have a faithful God, and we'll sing this chorus through together, just the once. Faithful one, so unchanging, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why we can put our trust in all circumstances in our God, because he is the faithful one. 825. Thank you. Thank you. Let's turn our thoughts, let's turn our attention then to the two passages of Scripture that were read to us this evening. And I thank Martina and Clifford again for being willing to read the passages. And I asked them, and they read the passages in full. I'm sure they would have preferred to read a shorter portion of rather than the whole of the passage. But the reason is that this is God's Word. And the truth of the matter is, any of us, when we would come to take a service or pass on a word at a service or preach a sermon or whatever phrase you want to put upon it, the fact is we're dealing with God's Word. And God can speak through His Word on His own. He doesn't always need a person at the front to try and explain it further or talk it further or say anything further. If we open our hearts and our minds to God's Word when it's being read, God can and will speak to us through His Word. That's why we would read our Bibles at home. And we would read them for ourselves. And we're just reading them and thinking about them for ourselves. And we should do that. And we calm ourselves and we quiet ourselves and we read God's Word. And we look for God to teach us something from His Word. And it might be a lesson. It might be a comfort. It might be a rebuke. It might be a challenge. God can speak to us in these different ways by His Word. So as those two passages were read tonight, if we were listening to them in church or reading again at home, God can and will speak to us through His Word. And I pray that by the words that I want to share with you tonight, that we'll all learn a little more from the two passages, we'll draw them together and learn lessons from them. Lessons that the Lord would want us to know through His Word. Because He wants us to know them in our minds and in our hearts. Because when God speaks to us, He doesn't just want us to listen and remember something in our heads. The purpose of God speaking to us through His Word is always that it would also mean something to us in our hearts. That it would make a difference to our lives. Because God's Word is a word for life. We've all been to school in our days and in our turn. And we all sit and we listen to the news on radio or television or whatever. And we listen to one another when we're speaking. And in all of those ways, we're taking in other people's words. We're taking them into our heads, and let's be honest, as quickly as they come in, they pass out again, and we remember maybe just a little portion of it. But we should always remember God's Word and God's speaking is different. He doesn't just want us to hear it in our head. He wants us to feel it and know it in our hearts, that it would make a difference to our lives. Let's have a word of prayer before we come to a short message tonight. Our God and our Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it's a true Word. We thank You that it's a faithful Word. We thank You that it's an eternal Word. And we thank You that it's absolutely reliable and applicable still to our lives today as ever it was. Because, Lord, it is Your Word. So as we hear Your Word tonight, make a difference in our heads. Make a difference in our hearts. Make a difference in our lives by applying Your Word to our hearts and lives by Your Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The main passage that I want us to focus on tonight is the well-known story of the feeding of the 5,000, which Clifford read out of John's Gospel. And I want to twin it with words from the Apostle Paul in the book of the Romans. What do you think that story of the 5,000 is all about? Well, yes, it's about 5,000 people, because that's the number of people who were there. So it's about the 5,000, we could call it that. It's about food and feeding, because the crowd was hungry and they needed food, and in the end the food was provided. So it's a story of 5,000. It's a story of food and feeding. It's a story of 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, because that was the lunch of the little boy. And indeed, it is a story of finding that little boy in the midst of the crowd. There was a little lad was found and brought forward with his lunch given to Jesus. And the Lord blessed it and performed a miracle. And let's remember, it was a miracle that 5,000, indeed more than 5,000 people were fed that day, because the word used applies to men only. And there were women and children with the men. So it may have been 10, 15 or up to 20,000 people were fed that day. It was a miracle of the Lord to prove that He was indeed the Son of God. But that's not what I want us to think about tonight. We've all heard that story since we were in Sunday school days. We know the story of the feeding of the 5,000 very well. All of those things I've just said are true. But I want you to think of 2 different words tonight, and again they've got that letter F. It's not about 5,000, and it's not just about feeding, and it's not just about finding a boy. It's not those things. But it's about sharing. It's about distributing. Distributing. That's what I want us to think tonight. Distributing food and faith. Distributing food and faith. That's what I want us to think. in our minds together tonight. And in that way, we can maybe learn lessons from both the passages that we've read together. Distributing food and faith. At the start of the story, the disciples are in difficulty. And you and I can put ourselves in their shoes many times. Maybe even as we sit here in the building tonight, we can think, yes, I've got a lot in common with them. They had been with Jesus for a long day. When you pick up the story of the 5,000 and the miracles about to happen, they had already been with Jesus for a long day. He had been teaching a huge crowd. He had been doing other miracles with that crowd. The day was wearing on because the story of the 5,000 is one of few that is actually told in all four Gospels. In fact, I think that it may be the only one of the miracles that is told in all of the four Gospels. I'm not 100% sure about that, but it is told in each of the four Gospels. We read just one portion of it tonight. But they had been with Jesus for a long time that day, and a big crowd around them. Now, you and I know what it's like. If we're out and about all day long, from early in the morning, and it's now wearing down to late at night, and there's been a big crowd about us, and it's been a busy crowd, and a noisy crowd, and a demanding crowd, and you're getting near the end of the day, and you just want the day to be over until you can get a wee bit of peace and time to yourself. And I'm sure the disciples were thinking and feeling that way. So we start off with the difficulty. But if it was a difficulty because it had been a long and hard and busy and tiring day, and they were in the middle of a great big crowd who were very demanding, it was becoming more difficult because part of the demand of the crowd was they were tired and they were hungry, and they wanted to stay with the Lord because they were enjoying the lessons he was teaching, and they might see some more miracles. And on top of all that, Jesus then turns to his disciples and says about the need of the crowd for food, and that they should feed them. Now, there was a challenge that was landed on them if ever there was at the end of a long and busy and a tired day, and you would just like to get away from it all, and you're given a challenge to feed this huge crowd. But when you read the four stories, and we haven't time tonight to read each of the four versions, when you take the four versions and draw them together, you can see that the Lord actually said to the disciples, you give them something to eat. He challenged the disciples to feed this great crowd, and they felt totally and utterly inadequate. How on earth or where on earth were they going to get the wherewithal to feed such a huge crowd? So they felt a great difficulty. And you and I sometimes feel those difficulties because there are circumstances around us or people around us, and it presents a challenge. And we're just not sure how we're going to rise to that challenge or if we'll ever be able to rise to that challenge. We just feel the difficulties. We're facing the difficulties, and it's perfectly natural. That is human life. And it doesn't matter what age any of us here is tonight, whether we've just had a smaller number of years in life or a longer number of years in life, we know what it is to have difficulties. Things are difficult, and we get tired, and life's busy, and it puts demands on us and stresses on us and presses on us. And then maybe on top of that, something more comes. And we all know when we talk about Sod's Law, if a thing can possibly go wrong, it will, and at the worst possible time and in the worst possible amount, and so it adds up. And that's just the truth and nature of life. Difficulties are in us, difficulties are round about us, and they often come together, and they put a press on us. So the first thing we see in the story is the difficulty. The disciples were faced with a difficulty, a long, busy, tiring day, a huge, hungry, demanding crowd, and the Lord turns and says to them, feed them. You find them something to eat. Well, if that was difficulty, when the Lord then said to them, you find them something to eat, I would suggest to you that probably brought the disciples to the point of despair. The point of despair. Because they realized, how are we to meet this challenge? How on earth are we going to feed such a huge crowd, 5,000 men plus, as we've already said? Where are we going to get enough food? How on earth would we ever organise it all? How long would it take to gather together all that food? How would we pass it out amongst them? How on earth would we make sure they all get a share? Have we got any money? Where's the nearest town? Would the bakery still be open at this late point of the day? Because those people usually bought their stuff first thing in the morning, and there would be no more provision until the next morning. So what on earth are we going to do at this late point of the day? It'll be dark soon. And the Lord has said, you feed them. I would suggest that brought the disciples to a point of despair. Now, they did ask the Lord for his help. So they were right in that. When you and I come to a point of despair, it's right to turn to the Lord and try to find the answer in the Lord. But we're human. We're all human. We have our weaknesses and we have our failings. And you can see it coming through here in the disciples. There are three things I think we can notice, not just in the passage we read, but in all the passages when we draw them together on the feeding of the 5,000. When they talked to the Lord, they didn't really have faith. They were making a request of the Lord about, Lord, we need your help to feed this crowd. But they didn't really ask in faith. And sometimes you and I are guilty of that. We ask. We say our prayer. We do the right thing. But honestly, in our heart, we're not really believing that it'll happen. There's a lack of faith. And there was a lack of faith shown among the disciples that day. Because they were turning to the Lord and looking to the Lord for help to feed the great crowd. But in their heart, they didn't really have the faith that they would be able to feed the great crowd. So they were asking with limited faith. And they were also calculating in their own terms. Because it tells us in the passage that they calculated up. They must have done a quick calculation. How many people? How much is the bread? And they reckoned that it would be about 200 denarii. Which, as Clifford read, was calculated out then as about 8 months' wages. An average man would earn that across 8 months. So the disciples had actually taken the time to try and work it out in human terms and calculate up how much bread they would need and how much it would cost them. And they got this fantastic figure of 200 denarii, or 8 months' wages. And then they're left looking at each other and thinking, well, where on earth are we going to get that amount of money? There's no way we've got that amount of money amongst us. And that was absolutely true. But you can see what they were doing. They were trying to calculate out and work out for themselves the logistics of how they could feed such a huge crowd in terms of numbers of loaves and costs of all that. And what did that make them feel? Well, it just made them feel the more helpless and the more hopeless and the more inadequate. Because the more they worked out, the more they realized that it was beyond them. So it was driving them to the point of despair. So they asked of the Lord, but they didn't really ask in faith. And then they tried to calculate it out and work it out for themselves, and they realized that the need sitting in front of them was so great that it was beyond them. So it brought them to the point of despair. And the third thing that we can learn from them is, and it tells us this in Luke's version of the story, in Luke's Gospel chapter 9, and how are you and I really like this? Think about it. The minute I say it, I'm sure it'll dawn in your mind like it dawned in my own. Sometimes we ask, and we don't really believe what we're asking for. And sometimes we ask, but we've already worked it out in our own head that we think it's far too big a thing and it'll just be too much. That's what the disciples had done. They'd asked without faith. They'd asked and calculated it up for themselves and they thought it was just too much. So they weren't really trusting in Jesus who could do anything. And then thirdly, Luke's Gospel tells us that the disciples actually turned to Jesus. He had said to them, you feed them. The disciples actually turned to Jesus and said, send the crowd away into the surrounding villages, Lord, so that they can find food for themselves. Now, it's not classic human nature. I want out of this one. Pass it on to somebody else. This is too much for me. This is too awkward for me. This is too demanding for me. This is too difficult for me. It's brought me to the point of despair. Away with you. Lord, send them off around the villages to get their food. This is too much for us. We want the Lord just to dismiss the difficulty or to take us out of it. Now, that's human nature. Of course, it's human nature. And we are thankful and grateful that the Lord understands us and sympathizes with us in our human weaknesses and our human natures. But isn't it true often when we face a difficulty, we just want it put away? And yes, sometimes the Lord might take the difficulty away quickly. But you and I know from life's experience that that is not always the case. That is often not the case. And the truth is, and we learn it in this story too, because again it was in the portion in John's Gospel that was read to us tonight, the Lord had asked them that question not to catch them out. The Lord had asked them that question to test their faith. It says that in the Scripture. He asked them it not because he didn't know what he was going to do. He knew from the outset. The Lord knew from the outset how he was going to solve this issue. But he was testing their faith in him to solve the issue. And the Bible tells us that we will at times go through difficulties. And the answer is not that the Lord takes us out of the storm, but that he helps us and he helps us to come through the storm. So he wasn't taking the disciples out of this difficulty. And he wasn't sending the crowd and dismissing the crowd off into the local villages to go get the food. He was wanting to test and strengthen the disciples' faith. And so we can move on positively too. Yes, the disciples that day faced a difficulty. And yes, the disciples got themselves to the point of despair, where they just felt it was all futile and they could do nothing for this crowd. But that brought them to the point where the Lord often needs and wants to bring us all. It brought them to the point of dependence. Because there is in every one of us a desire to try and sort things out for ourselves. And there's nothing wrong in that. I believe there's nothing wrong in that. I believe the Lord would always want us to use our own abilities, use our own brains, use our own wits, use our own common sense, use our own means. Whatever we've got at our disposal, the Lord would expect us to think it and work it through and do our bit, not to just sit there and give up. The Lord wouldn't want us to do that. But equally, He wants us to be at the point of dependence. And the point of dependence is where you and I know what our own abilities are, know what our own talents are, know what our own means are, but yet are still honest enough before the Lord to say, "But Lord, it's not enough if I don't have You. I depend on You, faithful one. My hope is in You alone." And that's the point the disciples were brought to. And that's the point we as Christians and indeed as unbelievers need sometimes to be brought to. That we cannot save ourselves and will never save ourselves. And we cannot and will never do everything in life for ourselves. We're at the point of dependence. That's when we turn to the Lord. That's when our difficulty and our despair brings us to a closer relationship with our God. Because we must and we do turn to Him in that moment of difficulty, in that moment of despair, when we have calculated it up for ourselves and realize, I can't do it for myself. I must turn to the Lord. I'm at the point of dependence. And that's where the disciples were brought to. And at that point, they shifted their focus. And they realized that they had a responsibility. The Lord had said to them, "You feed the crowd." They had a responsibility. But then they realized that they also had the resource. The Lord Himself was there. And He could take whatever was there and make it happen and use it to His glory. He had been testing their reliance on Him. So they stopped counting it up for themselves. And they turned and they depended on the Lord to trust and obey, for there's no other way. And that's what the disciples learned that day. And that is when the little lad comes into the story. And that's when this boy and his loaves and his fishes comes into the story. Because the Lord can then take what is there at His disposal and use it. Because little is much when God is in it. We know the song, we've heard the words. Do we believe them? Little is much when God is in it. So when they were truly at a point of despair and difficulty and even defeat, that brought them to the point of dependence. They turned truly and honestly to the Lord as the one who could and would help them in the circumstance. And then He took what they had, little as it was, and He blessed it. And then He gave it to them. And then they gave out to the crowd. See how the story comes to an end then? Because we've been in difficulty and it has brought us to the point of despair. And that brings us to the point of dependence on the Lord. And then in His time, with His resources, we come to a point of delight. Not in ourselves, but in the Lord. Because look then, the little boy is brought forward. Jesus takes that small lunch. He blesses it. He multiplies it. It is truly a miracle that the crowd are fed. He gives it to the disciples. The Lord brings order. Seat them in groups of 50. Can you imagine a crowd of 10 or 15 or 20,000 getting them seated in an organized way in groups of 50? I did lunch lines for a lot of my life. It was bad enough. I never had 10 or 12,000. 200 or 300 were enough, trying to get them into a line and through the dinner hall. But the Lord tells the disciples, get them organized and get them into bunches of 50 and get them sat down in the grass. And it's done. The Lord brings order. The Lord brings direction. And then comes the distribution. There's the food. Share it out. They take it and they share and they come back to the Lord. And there's more. And He gives them again and they take it and they share and they come back to the Lord. And there's still more. There's enough until the entire crowd is fed. There is an abundance. Because when the Lord blesses, He blesses in abundance. And in fact, there are scraps left over and gathered in. There is such a provision. When they were dependent on the Lord and left it all with the Lord, he took what they had, little as it was, and he blessed it and he multiplied it and he used it. And then he gave the orders, he gave the direction, they did the distribution. And note what they were doing when you think about it in the end. What were they doing? But they were giving out what the Lord had given to them. When you and I give our offerings, we're just giving back to God what he has first given to us and blessed us with. When we do anything for the Lord in this place, whether it's a musical talent or a singing talent or a speaking talent or a quiet wee bit of service to help something or someone or a bit of practical work around the place, any time, any talent, any money, anything that we've got in our lives, we can give it to the Lord and he'll take it and use it. So whatever our talents are, young people right up through, whatever our talents are, remember two things. You've been given them first of all by the Lord. Whether or not you acknowledge that, that's a truth. You have been given them by the Lord in the first place. He has given to you. And what's he looking for? He's looking for you to come to the point in your life where you say, Lord, I'm giving them back to you. And then you can bless them and make them abundant. And that's a blessing to me, and that's a blessing to you, and that's a blessing to everybody else. Because the whole crowd were filled and satisfied by the provision of the Lord. And the disciples in the end were simply giving out, giving back what the Lord in his miracle had given to them. They were sharing out food that day, but they were also sharing faith that day. So there are some lessons that you and I can learn from the story of the feeding of the 5,000. It's more than just a hungry crowd getting their food. That's the basic bottom line of the story. A hungry crowd got fed. The Lord did a miracle. Absolutely true. But there's more to it. It's a sharing of food and faith. And the disciples were brought from difficulty and despair to dependence on the Lord and ultimately to the delight of everyone being satisfied because they trusted in him, they gave what they had to him, and he blessed it and used it and then gave them more that they could give back to satisfy the crowd. And that's true in faith as much as in food because there's none but Christ can satisfy. Very quickly, turning to the other passage in Romans chapter 12. Again, it's about sharing. Again, it's about sharing faith. Not food this time. Food doesn't feature in the passage, but it's about sharing faith. And our spiritual faith, our spiritual food, is much more important than our physical food. Well, we enjoy it. And I enjoy my food as much as anybody else. And we enjoyed the wee supper, the wee light bite, but it was tasty. And we enjoyed it as we come in together tonight. But the spiritual food, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Our spiritual food is more important. And we see that in Romans chapter 12. It's about sharing faith. When you go through that passage, and you can read it again for yourself sometime, there are many, many lessons there. It could have many good sermons preached on it and would deserve that. I'm giving just a brief outline tonight. But at the very start of the passage, we're called upon to give ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. In other words, whatever we've got, our time, our talent, our money, our energies, whatever health and strength and ability we've got in us, it's given by God, it's put there by God, and it's not for you and me to use selfishly for our own ends, it's for you and me to use to the glory of God and the good of others. We are to present our bodies, our whole selves, our whole beings, everything and every bit of ability and energy we've got, we're to present it as a living sacrifice. You see, a dead sacrifice at the end of the day is useless because it's dead. It's once and used and finished and gone. We're to be a living sacrifice. Regularly giving ourselves to the Lord in a service. And then we're a benefit to the Lord and we're a benefit to other people too. So right at the start of the passage we're called to be a living sacrifice. And that includes sharing ourselves. Giving out of ourselves as the Lord has put into us. Giving it out to share it with others. And that includes sharing our faith. Sharing our faith. Because when we share our faith, folks, we're blessed in ourselves. As much as the people who hear the word are blessed as well. So we're encouraged to be a living sacrifice. And we're encouraged to be loyal to our God. It's our reasonable service. Our reasonable service. We sometimes like to think, humanly speaking, that, oh, I'm doing a powerful lot. Wow, I'm really doing a lot. The Lord tells us in his word we shouldn't think that way. Whatever we're doing for him, little or much, it's our reasonable service that's expected of us. If we're Christians, we're signed up for duty. And that duty is serving the Lord. It's our reasonable service. And for a Christian not to want to serve the Lord, well, then we're neglecting our duty. And we're not sharing our faith. And we're not giving back and giving out as the Lord first prospered us. So this passage calls us to be a living sacrifice, and it calls on us to be loyal to our God, and it calls on us to give as the Lord has given to us. Because through the middle of the passage, you've got all those different gifts, whether it's gifts of teaching or prophecy or whatever. There's a whole preaching and teaching and all that. There's a whole list of things there. Sometimes people get hung up on that list and they wonder about who's got this gift or who's got the other gift, or I've got this gift and I've got that gift. It's not about the me. It's not about the gifts that are given. It's not about some person trying to claim that one gift's more important than another gift. We're told clearly in this passage that just like all the bits of the body fit together, and the truth is they're all important. One might do a greater function than another, but even the littlest member of the body, if it's injured, causes us pain. The point is the whole body fits together like a body. All the bits, great and small, fit together and do their job. It's the same in the church. All the gifts and all the talents that you and I have been given. It's not for you or I to try and work out who's got more gifts or who's got greater gifts or what I've got or what you've got. The fact is it's up to you and me to identify that whatever we've got, we use it together for the glory of God and the good of the church. That's what this passage was written for. The glory of God and the good of the church. Never for anyone, any individual, to take strength or to take boast, because the Lord warns us all about boasting and what we think our gifts are compared to someone else. That's not the point. The point is we are giving back what God has first given us. So whatever our gifts and our talents are, recognize and thank God for them. And then be willing to give them back in His service, wherever you can do something for Him. And the point here was that all of these gifts, when they were put together and worked together, would bring glory to God and good to the church. Just like the disciples, when they put themselves together with the little boy and his loaves and his fishes and handed it all over in dependence and trust to the Lord, He took it and He used it for a great miracle. And when we put ourselves and our abilities together, not individually, but together, then in God's will and for God's glory and for the good of ourselves and others around us, He can take and use us and make something more wonderful out of it. And there are great words on through the passage about love and zeal and joy and hope and patience. Don't we need those? Don't we need love? Don't we need joy? Don't we need zeal? Don't we need hope? Don't we need patience? We can't get through life without these things. We need them in ourselves, and we need to get them from each other. Because sometimes when my joy's down, you might be able to raise it up. Or I might another time do it for you. That's the way we work and share and give together. Whatever the Lord has given to us, we give back to one another and to Him. Our good, His glory. That's what it's all about. And we're told at the end, we're given great lessons here also about being transformed. Being transformed. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. That's a paraphrase of one of the verses at the start of that passage. Don't be transformed by the ways of this world. And another way of translating that is, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. You make a difference. You break out of the world's mold, which is all about selfishness and getting everything for yourself and making yourself richer or greater or more famous or whatever. Using talents for your own ends. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. As a Christian, we want to be transformed. We want to break out of that mold. And we want to use our gifts and our talents by putting them together for the glory of God and the good of others, not our own advancement. And that's what we're encouraged to do. And we're told at the very end, don't be overcome by evil. And aren't we sometimes overcome by evil? We look at the evil in the world around us. We'll probably go home tonight and there'll be something else in the news that's desperate. Desperately evil, whether it's local or further afield around the world. So much evil. And it gets us down and we feel overwhelmed by it. A bit like the disciples were overwhelmed by the crowd and how on earth they were ever going to feed them. We can feel sometimes we're overwhelmed by evil and sin all around us, or even inside us getting us. And we feel it's really getting us down. And this passage at the end tells us not to be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. To overcome evil with good. And what's the good? Well, the good is when you and I know what our own abilities are, and we are determined to give them over to the Lord, and we pull them all together, and in His strength and with His power, we make a difference in our own lives and in other people's lives. His glory, people's good. So these two passages, putting them together, and thank you for listening, and bringing this message to a conclusion. It's all about sharing food and faith. That's what these two stories are about. Sharing food and faith. And my call to all of us in our congregation, in our church fellowship here in this place, for this week and for every week, my call is that we share our food, as it were, and we share our faith. In other words, everything we've got at our disposal as individuals, we pull it together, we team it together, and we multiply it together. And in that way, we strengthen our resources. But most especially, we hand them over to God. We hand them over to the Lord, the head of the church. He takes them. He uses them. He gives the increase in His time. That might mean that you and I have to wait, and we have to be patient, and we still have to endure difficulties and trials and upsets and all the rest. But we have to be faithful. God's word always calls us to be faithful. So the call tonight is to share our food and our faith. Whatever talents we have, let's know what they are. Let's be willing to give them to each other. Let's share them together as a church community, and let's put them to good use in the name of the Lord. And He'll add the increase. He'll add the blessing. He'll add the abundance, like He did when the 5,000 were fed. And I pray that the Lord will encourage us all that way and strengthen us all that way to live and be for Him. And if you aren't yet a Christian, then come to that point of dependence where admitting your first step of dependence is to say, I'm a sinner, Lord, and the only one can save me out of it is You. And then the rest of us as Christians have also to be at the point of dependence and say, Lord, every step of every day, I need You. And everything that we ever plan to do as a church family here, we need the Lord. We have to be at that point of dependence before we come to a point of delight. And we have to share and use our gifts and our talents. Share our food and our faith. As the Lord has given it to us, give it out, and the Lord will bless in His time. Amen. Closing in. Sorry. 1359, please. It's one of the newer hymns, and we have learned it, and we have sung it occasionally. If you don't know it, you can pick it up again as we sing it through together tonight. And it talks about the kindnesses and the blessings that the Lord has given to us, and how in return we want to give them out to others for their good and His glory. 1359. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you that you have dealt with us in love and mercy and grace and compassion. And Lord, help us, every one of us tonight, as we stand here in church, from youngest to oldest, Lord, help us to realize that every gift and talent and ability within us is from your good hand. And help us, Lord, to lay it before you. Help us to turn to you. Help us to give again our lives to you. Help us to trust Christ as Savior and Lord for a first time. Or help us again to pray, Lord, that you would encourage us and help us day by day to be a living sacrifice and to give out to others and to give out for your glory what you have first given to us. Bless and encourage us, Lord, with that thought, and may your grace, mercy, and peace be our portion now and evermore. Amen.